The 2022 convention of the National Federation of the Blind of Alaska is in session. Welcome. I want to say welcome. Yeah, thank you. It's been a really long 2 years, and I just want to thank everyone who's taken the time out of your schedules and paid money to come to this. And I hope that when you leave, you don't regret coming. And I hope that you get a lot out of what's going to happen today.
All right. Our first speaker today is going to be David Newman. And David has come to our convention since he was appointed to be the state AA coordinator. He has been terrific, has worked with us, and has been a great friend. So, David, come on and tell us what you've been up to.
Well, like Bonnie said, this is my fourth time speaking here. My first time was in 2018, but it's really good to be back in person. And actually, a real honor to be the first speaker at your convention as well. So thank you for that. So like I said, I'm the State Americans with Disabilities Act Coordinator, and my office is the ADA Compliance Program. My office was created in 1992 by Governor Hickel in response to the passage of the ADA. And my office helps ensure that individuals with disabilities have equal access to all of the state's facilities, programs, and services under Title II of the ADA. And like many things with the state, I would love to say that I have a huge staff to help me in a lot of the stuff I want to do. Unfortunately, it is just me as the only person. So I'm out there doing the best that I can with all the projects and priorities that I have to work on. But just keep that in mind. Sometimes I say we when I'm up here to talk about the ADA compliance program. That's really just me and everybody who helps me accomplish things. All right, so before I get into my priorities and stuff, a little bit about me. My background is as an attorney. I'm licensed to practice law in Alaska and Illinois. Was licensed in Illinois in 2000 and Alaska in 2003. So it's been quite a bit of time since then. I've worked for the state for almost 16 years. It'll be 16 years next month, actually. Right? Yeah, it's a long time. Long time for the state of Alaska. I started this position in 2017. And before that, I worked for a long time in the state's Division of Banking and Securities, doing audits, enforcement, investigations, and things like that. So looking out for people's retirement, making sure people aren't stealing their money. And that was a very rewarding career. But then in 2017, I had the opportunity to become the state ADA coordinator. And so people ask me all the time, they say, well, how does somebody go from the Division of Banking and Securities to the state ADA coordinator? And the truth is, it's personal for me. I have a 13-year-old daughter named Julia who has cerebral palsy and uses a power wheelchair. So I've been advocating for her since she's been a little girl. And what I thought when this position came available is I would be able to help other people in Alaska the way I've been helping my own family. And so that's it's very important to me. So this position that I have and that I'm able to do every day is very important to me personally and professionally. So I just wanted to share that with you because this is something I care about a lot. So today, I want to talk about my priorities and what work I'm working on and also things that I still want to accomplish. So some things we've been able to get done and some things that we're not quite there yet. So the first thing that I want to talk about, and I'm actually very proud of, is our progress in web accessibility. So this is access to all of the state's websites and uploaded documents. Now, this is something that even my predecessors and other people at the state have really worked on since 2008, and something that the state is really behind where they were supposed to be. And so this has been one of my top priorities since I started this position 5 years ago. And what I'm able to announce, and if you haven't heard this already, is that the state recently got an accessibility of information technology, information and communication technology policy that was signed by the commissioner of the department administration in August. And so this is huge. This sets minimum standards, worldwide minimum accessibility standards that other nations and other states follow, that the state is now required to follow to make their websites and uploaded documents accessible to everyone. Now, this includes screen readers and, you know, enlarged text and all things like that. So this policy was the result of not only by me, but other people, 5 years of hard work going, like I said, all the way back to 2008. And I really have to give a big thanks to William Craig, another member of your National Federation, who is, yeah, I don't know if he's listening online. I talked to him a couple days ago, and I know he's not able to be here today. He's in Sitka, but I hope he's listening. So I just wanted to give him, you know, a big shout out. And he was extremely helpful in helping this thing get passed. So it's a big moment for me. It's a big moment for the state of Alaska, just to improve accessibility for all the state's websites. In addition to that, one of my big priorities since I started was emergency management. And in 2017, when I started this position, emergency management was not a part of my position. It hadn't been since my position was created in 1992. But when I started this position in 2017, and I had read about and seen some of the horrible things that had just happened in Puerto Rico and Houston with the result of their hurricanes, I really wanted to make emergency management to be a really big part of my position and how the state responds to disasters and any sort of emergencies. So what I was able to do was work with our Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management to be named the Access and Functional Needs Liaison for our State Emergency Operations Center. So what does that mean? So anytime there's a disaster in Alaska or an emergency and our most vulnerable citizens are at risk, I'm there and I'm contacted by our State Emergency Operations Center to say, all right, what do we need in this area? And so I'll give you some examples. So for the 2018 earthquake, for our big fire season in 2019, for COVID, I mean, we all understand what the implications for that were. Recently, with our West Coast storm, I'm working with our emergency personnel to make sure that our most vulnerable populations are looked out for. So specifically, this means for sheltering, make sure our shelters are accessible, that there's proper transportation. Like for COVID, the testing sites being accessible, COVID vaccination sites, and also for things like communication. You know, before I started, the state never had a sign language interpreter for our governor's press conferences during emergencies, and now we do. And so that's a huge step forward, and it's really exciting. And there was a real, you know, during some of these disasters, I got a really great response from members of the deaf community that they really appreciated ASL interpreters being at those press conferences because they felt, you know, that they were being thought of and looked out for as well. So it's something I'm very proud of. In addition to that, I'm a member of what's called the Alaska Disability Advisory Group that meets once a month. This is a group made up of state and federal agencies and nonprofits throughout Alaska that get together and talk about during disasters or even before, during, and after disasters, but what do we need and what's lacking right now? So this actually puts people in direct contact with those who are responding to these emergencies. So there are emergency managers from the State Emergency Operations Center on these calls. There's people from FEMA on these calls, and they're talking directly with the people who they're helping in these nonprofits and who these nonprofits are looking out for. So that happens. Those meetings are once a month, and that's very exciting as well. In addition to that, I'm currently working with the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, on developing a training for our emergency managers here in Alaska and in Region 10 in Idaho, Oregon, and Washington to make sure that those emergency managers understand that access and functional needs should be a part of everything that they do. It's not that, oh, David's here, he's the access and functional needs liaison, he'll take care of it. They need to be looking out for everybody, all of our most vulnerable people, anybody with disability, in every aspects of what they do. And so that's something that's very important as well. In addition to that, and something I haven't been successful with yet, but I'm trying, is to try to get a full-time access and functional needs coordinator within our state emergency operations center. So like I said, I'm the access and functional needs liaison, but I have a bunch of additional responsibilities for myself. And like I said, I'm the only person, and I'm contacted when there's an emergency. But what I'm hoping for is that there's a full-time access and functional needs coordinator who's there, and their sole responsibility is during disasters and emergency to look out for people with disabilities, elderly population, the poor, anybody who's our most vulnerable. So that's something that I'm trying. I'm working with the leadership of the Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management to try to make that happen. So a couple important things out there. Next thing is, and I want to go back to 2018 when I first spoke here. I brought up the issue of voting, and that got the biggest reaction from you all. That voting was a biggest concern at the time. It was very important, and it's something that I needed to follow up on. And I heard that from all of you. And we had some successes since then. You know, right after I spoke in 2018, I visited 64 different polling locations in Anchorage to check on accessibility. That was 34 during the primary in August 2018 and 30 during the general election. Just identifying different issues that anybody in a wheelchair or with sight issues or any sort of problems that anybody would have in regard to voting. And I identified those issues and pointed them out to the Division of Elections. One of the things I noticed was how old and broken down their electronic voting machines were. I went to a couple locations and they just couldn't even get them started, or they weren't working at all. And so one of the successes we had, and Bonnie knows a lot about this and was involved in this, is we got those new electronic voting tablets that hopefully you've all have used for the 2020 election. Now, I know there have been some issues. Bonnie and I have talked about that, and they're not perfect, but they're certainly an upgrade than what we had in the past. So it's something that we should be happy about, but it's an evolving situation and something we're still looking into. There are some issues as well in regard to voting that I want to mention. And I'm sure you're all aware of this with the Alaska Supreme Court case that we're still waiting for the decision on that affected the previous vote by mail election. There still are not absentee in voting tablets at absentee in-person voting locations throughout the state. That's important to me, and that's bothered me. That's something I have discussed with the Division of Elections. That's something I believe that was part of the Supreme Court case, so hopefully we'll get a good decision on. But that's something that's not perfect, and it definitely needs to be worked on. So that's a big concern out there as well. And again, I'm not done with elections and voting. In August of this year, I visited 13 different polling locations in Wasilla. And on Tuesday, I'm going to all of the, there's 10 polling locations in Palmer, and I'm going to be visiting all of them on that day to make sure. Yeah, seriously, I'm proud of myself. Pat myself on the back. What I want to tell all of you is I will be out there, but I can't do it alone. If any of you decide to vote in person, if you haven't voted absentee, and there's any issue with voting or any problem that you see that needs to be corrected, please let me know. Because if I don't know about it, I can't do anything about it. So if there's any issues on Tuesday or with anything, please let me know. I'll share that with Bonnie. I know this is a huge issue for Bonnie as well. So please let me know. One of the things I'm very proud of, I've noticed that a few of you in this room have service animals. This is very important to me as well. My daughter, who I mentioned, has a three-year-old service animal named Rocket Man. He's very cute, and she says he's her best friend. One of the big successes that we had, and hopefully you all know about this and seen this, and again, like I did with William and I've talked about with Bonnie, this was deserves a great deal of credit to Brian Geary. We have the new service animal relief area at Ted Stevens Airport. Inside security, right, so they don't make you go outside by the baggage claim, and it's not tucked away in a little part of the family restroom.
It's not a broom closet.
It's not a broom closet anymore where they just give you pee pads. Yeah. Yeah, it's got a little turf there. And again, these things aren't perfect. You know, there's not real grass. I think there's a turf area, but there's a way to wash it off. There's, bags to pick up after the dog. There's a sink. It's just, my dog hasn't used it yet on our next trip. I'm going to try it out myself. But it's very exciting. Again, I have the Brian Deary deserves a lot of credit as well. We went out there before it was completed and Brian pointed out certain things they needed to fix when we were at the airport together. Just really exciting. So if you haven't been there already at Ted Stevens, once you go through security, if you go straight, I think you go to C terminal. You take a left, you go to the B, and it's right there at the beginning of the B terminal on the right-hand side. I think it's great. And very happy about that as well. One thing I haven't been so successful on, again, I'm not just going to get up here and say everything's perfect and I've done everything I can and everything's great. I haven't been able to get Newsline in Alaska. And you have a speaker after me, Jesse, who's going to talk about Newsline. Now, Newsline is available in, I think, 47 states. Bonnie, you can correct me. 48 states in the District of Columbia. It's not available in, I believe, North Dakota. It just went into North Dakota. So Wyoming and Alaska. All right. So this is something, and Bonnie knows this, I've been working on for 4 years trying to bring this here. William Craig has been working on this too. I just met recently and was told that, unfortunately, bad news again, that it's not an appropriate home for the Department of Administration. What I've done previously, Bonnie and I met with the executive director at the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education to try to get this pushed through. That person has since left. They are hiring for a new executive director right now. When that person is hired, I'm going to meet with them again to try to get their support on this. We haven't gotten support from the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation, unfortunately, but I'm not giving up on it. Bonnie knows I'm not giving up. Right, we're not giving up, and we're going to continue to work together to try to push this forward. Yeah, and I will tell you, we can't do it alone. If this is important to you as well, you can call your legislators, encourage them. It's not expensive. Yes, somebody's got a question. Go ahead.
The next speaker is going to tell us all about it.
Yes.
But it's newspapers and magazines just available for us. It's one off list.
Yeah, you're going to hear a whole presentation about it after me. But again, if you have any ideas, let me know and other people we can contact and work with. But this is still a huge priority. The next thing that I'm going to be hopefully starting in 2023 that I haven't started yet is getting self-evaluations out to all the state agencies. And basically all this is that means there are surveys or questionnaires that let us know if the state is violating any of the regulations under the ADA. So hopefully we're going to roll those out in 2023. So those are my priorities. I know I'm getting close to the end of my time here and I don't want to go into other people's time. But in addition to that, I take questions. You can call me at any time about any issue. I make referrals. I investigate complaints. I encourage you to check out my website. It's alaska.gov/ADA. My contacts information's on there. If any of you ever have trouble reaching me, Bonnie knows how to reach me. Bonnie's got my cell phone, my personal cell phone number. No, you don't, but you know how to reach me. So if you have any problem, right, let Bonnie know. Yeah, it's anytime. I'm serious, everybody. Anytime. This is my job. This is what I'm here for. Yes. So they're called self-evaluations, and they're like a survey or questionnaire that lists a bunch of the requirements under Title II of the Americans with Disabilities Act. They're going to be sent out to all the state agencies to make sure that the state is complying with the federal regulations under the ADA. And so I'm excited to get that back. Yes, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you, Tom. There is talk. Yes. Again, this is, and Bonnie can correct me, but this is part of the discussions that we've had with the Division of Elections. There's been some pushback on that because they say printing the ballot out at home and doing that whole thing. But there has been discussions about that. It's ongoing. Like I said, I'm extremely interested to see what the Supreme Court says when that decision comes down. So that's kind of a wait and see right now. I mean, that could be any day right now that we get that decision.
David, this is Kevin.
Yes, Kevin.
With snow coming up, who would you be? Is it you contact for accessibility to bus routes?
So, great question. So, normally on state roads and state accessible routes, that is overseen by the Department of Transportation Civil Rights Office. And they specifically oversee those things and making sure that those roads and are accessible to people.
Now, if memory serves me correct, there's a pissing match between the municipality and the state in regards to who and where they plow and make it accessible.
Yeah, again, that's not my specific expertise because I rely on DOT for that. But yes, I've heard that. But I will tell you, the civil rights program, we have very good people working there. Somebody in charge of the ADA issues, his name is Robespierre Howard. So if you're interested in the plowing of the sidewalks and those issues, I encourage you to contact him. Yes, I know I got to go. I got
one.
Go ahead. Yes, you raised your hand. Yes, you. Yes, Katie. Yes, yeah, so I do not. So I only oversee state agencies. But if people want to, you know, file complaints or probably get more information on that, I know at 2:00 you have Rob Corbis here speaking. He's the executive director of the State Commission for Human Rights, and he would have jurisdiction over that. All right, so thank you. I know I'm at the end of my time. I just want to say one thing. I really want Alaska to be the leader in accessibility in this country. And I want people to think about what's going on in Alaska that they would want to do in their own state. So reach out to me however we can work together. I'm always here. So again, I appreciate being invited again this year, and hopefully I'll see you all next year. Thank you so much.
Ani, this is Rick Webb. Comment about accessible voting. Anybody that uses accessible voting machines, there are some privacy flaps. And David mentioned how old the equipment is. One of the things that came out when the Wallbusters Advocacy Group did some training, I asked, why can't we not have curtains like everybody else? And we're going to be working on changing legislation because the dimensions on those polling stations, the curtains and all that, the dimensions are actually in state law. And the only manufacturer to make those dimensions has been out of business for years. So those are 30 years old. And anyway, we're going to look at getting the dimensions changed or opened up so that the state can replace all of those.
All right. Thank you.